Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Red Light Podcast, recording number 69, Secrets. And these two pervs are the Dr. Chaotic.
See, the problem is that with the way the internet's meme that number, it's not even really stand as a perv anymore. It's just an internet joke at this point.
Oh, of course. And Spice Tiefling.
Hey, my mind's not in the gutter.
And I am Roy Wolfman, host of the show. And we will be covering the newest episodes of Senritsu Kakai Fao Kawasugi, the most terrifying movie in history. Yes, the feature-length film, ladies and gentlemen.
We've been building up to this.
What's that?
What was the runtime of this one?
What was the runtime?
Hour.
It was an hour 20.
Yeah.
Okay. It felt longer.
It did feel longer.
It did, yeah.
It felt really longer.
Yes.
Mainly because of the material we were working on this time.
Yeah.
So, we find out that the author of Yatsuya Clayton belonged to a village of sorcerers. And just so we have it, we found the village. So let's make a movie about its discovery. Right?
Sounds like a terrible idea.
That makes total sense.
So do we want to give some cultural context on this one?
Yes, if you want. There's a lot of ties to this issue. This sort of coverage.
This is Inanagi Village, is what they're referring to without stating it by name. This is a cursed village where the laws of Japan do not apply. Mm-hmm. So all matter of deviancy and crimes and things occur here. If you go here, you're either be killed or fate's worse than death can occur to you, or you're never going to be heard again. There's something of a supernatural thing with it. It's also, I believe, some of the inspiration for what we have in the Fatal Frame 2 game with the red butterfly.
Yes.
So it does wind its way into Japanese culture quite a bit. And if you haven't read the story, please feel free to go and read it.
It also ties into a recent phenomenon where villages outside of the city areas are becoming abandoned.
Yeah, mainly due to aging populations, even any young people born there eventually moving out to the cities.
For better opportunities.
Yeah, lack of reliance on farming as much now, especially with the bigger farms.
Lower birth rates, elderly population.
Less reliance on foresters and more on the forestry industry.
So more technology than anything else. Progress is slowly catching up.
Yes. But more or less, it's... How do I explain it?
It's the after effects of migration.
Progress. Yeah, migration
progress. Of progress. Of migration by way of progress. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
also the burst of the economic miracle.
Yeah. My home state of Michigan sees these things on a daily as well. Due to forestry, due to the loss of mining.
And due to the pulling out of the automotive industry.
Yes.
Yes. Seattle had the same problem too when Silicon Valley kind of became more of the tech hub.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of states have actually had that problem.
Yeah.
You know, more people want to go, younger people want to go into the cities for better opportunities so they don't have to live the lives of their parents and grandparents and get out of those small rinky-dink towns. Not that there's anything wrong with them.
No.
You like them. But it does seem to be something that is more, now in the modern age, it's becoming more of a common thing. But specifically in Japan, where we have entire ghost towns.
Yes.
Yeah. So you have a ghost town, you, of course, you're going to create a story about
it. About it, yeah. So this is their sort of, would you say, coping mechanism?
Yeah, like more of a reason why you shouldn't go near these places. Because, I mean, any derelict community
mm-hmm.
or any, you know, it is ultimately, for urban explorers, is going to create an atmosphere of danger. You don't want anybody getting hurt. You don't want to spend resources rescuing people.
Right.
You know.
Going but it also kind of creates. But it also kind of creates the inverse in the way where you're going to have people interested in that place because of the stories.
Right.
And also nature reclaiming, you know, what man has made.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Japan, it is.
In a way, you don't want to interrupt that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, just something. Yeah, it's a hard thing to explain.
Go ahead. Chaotic.
No, the best U.S. thing I can think of, other than as like we mentioned, is maybe like Centralia.
Centralia. Yes, and there was
That's an entire. The fires are still spreading.
They are.
It's going to hit some of the other towns because the coal mines, the tunnels go deep. So they may have to start evacuating new communities, is what I heard allegedly. So this could potentially happen more and more. But there's only a few residents living in that town, but nobody else can add into it.
Mm-hmm. There was also a neighborhood in Pittsburgh that just upped and moved.
Really?
Yes.
Any particular reason?
That's what people... Everyone thought it was a big old gas leak. Ooh. But the gas company that took care of that neighborhood said, no, we didn't have a gas leak over there. There's no record of it either.
Maybe just the rumor of something bad happened can spook people enough to leave.
Right.
I mean, even just the threat of a gas explosion.
We're talking would be... up and left without their...
Oh, okay. Well, that's the works of a different color.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Roy. Yeah, I remember you were telling me about this story years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, some people kind of accredit it to
eminent domain.
Eminent domain.
Would you want to take your stuff with you though?
Right.
I mean, pictures at least, or your important documents, or like, I can't see some people leaving things like that behind. Those things are sentimental or vital to you living. Just leaving it there?
Right.
That, I mean, maybe the closest thing I could think of in maybe ancient times for something like, short of a natural, well, yeah. The natural disaster of Pompeii and Herculaneum.
Yeah. Or San Francisco's earthquakes.
Yeah. Where people just, you know, but then again, that's literally something that, well, people didn't leave.
Yeah.
They either turned to, well, let's put it this way, their last moments are immortalized, and that's just sad. And the people in Herculaneum, their brains just boiled in their skulls and went boom. People are still living near those areas. And that volcano is getting close again, possibly to erupting.
Of course.
It's due to erupt. I don't know. They say in the next 100 years or so? Yikes.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to live near there.
But would you say liminal terror, too? In the sense that these empty spaces, so I think it touches on that as well.
Okay, it's called Lincoln Way.
Lincoln Way. Okay, where people just upped and left?
Upped and left.
No road work, no nothing, where imminent danger would make sense?
No. Just,
we're out of here? Peace out?
Mm-hmm. Everything was left.
That's spooky.
Yeah.
That's like going into some of those haunted asylums, or you just see paperwork all over the place. And
again, everybody thought it was a gas main leak. And the gas company's like, nah, we don't even have record of it happening around that area. So.
So, yeah.
So that's where your basis of your village is at. Yeah, the real Inanagi village was turned into a dam. So, you know, the only thing that's left of it is its tunnel.
They just flooded the village.
Village, yes.
Yeah, so there's nothing to... people were evacuated, so... But, you know, everyone loves a good ghost story.
Of course, yeah.
Who doesn't love that? But isn't the tunnel almost completely bricked up, if I recall correctly?
Almost. You still
can go... To discourage people to venture into that area.
Yeah.
Yeah. For obvious reasons.
But hikers still go through it, so.
Because of course they do.
And that is the basis of our story. So the gang, the Scooby gang, take an idol, a scientist, and Dogen to investigate the supposed village.
So, of paranormal idol.
She's the paranormal idol
who has so much merch.
Oh my god, the merch. You have to sit through 3 minutes of merch.
She is on from the second she realizes the camera's rolling, and she's very good. And then you have your paranormal skeptic, your scientist.
Yes.
So at least they're trying to bring balance. And then Dogen.
And then Dogen.
The ornery bastard.
Good old Dogen.
Ah, Dogen. So, you know, they already paid the idol up front a pretty kingly sum, I would say. Through agency that, you know, you're going to be doing this. And I don't think she knew how deep she was getting into when she originally signed the contract.
No, she didn't.
That's one of those ones where you go, you want to ask way more questions about what you're about to do.
This is some perfect blue bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. So as they start to kind of reveal where they're going and why they're going there, you can see her face starting to get a little bit more nervous as they've received a tape, I believe. From a couple that went up to the village. They decided they're going to, you know, hike their way up. They're going to go past these, I guess, ribbons or streamers that are telling people to stay out.
Yeah.
Don't go past this point. Unfortunately, there was no subtitles there. They kind of give us an idea, but you kind of get the general gist of don't go beyond this point.
They're teasing
each other a little bit. The guy and the girl, listen, hey, you know, anybody that comes up here, you know, they tend to go insane or they die or they disappear. They see a mutilated animal carcass, I guess, on the ground. They see these white stacks of rock. Multiple white stacks of rocks as they're going up, and they start getting the feeling that something's really wrong. And where do I take it from there?
They start seeing things.
They start seeing
ghost arms
that come out of her mouth or behind her head.
Yes, a female figure, and then she starts running towards the lake. Well, to the big river. And she jumps off. Then we get another of those blasts of light that we've seen in the second episode.
Yes. Which made us collectively groan. But she also misty stepped. She disappeared for a little bit, and then she started... She just started to peer towards the river or the bridge. There was a bridge that she jumped off of, but we didn't hear her hitting the water.
Yeah, she just disappeared.
Yeah, and then her guy fellow, I guess, made it out, but
he kind of went nuts.
Yeah, he's not doing too well. We'll talk about that when we get to it. So seeing that, the idol starts getting a little bit more nervous.
Yes.
You know, they ask them to weigh in, the scientists and Dogen to weigh in what they think this could be. And Dogen, of course, says, you know, this is spirits, this is paranormal, this is, you know, and then the scientists just, they go at it back and forth. Like, oh, of course you would say that. You know, this could be like CGI trickery or, you know, some kids just with good special effects. You know, which, I mean, you do need a skeptic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're kind of like cats and dogs. It is kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
The idol is a little nervous, but she's like, well, I didn't think we'd be doing something like this, but it's like, hey, I paid you.
Yep, you paid you a lot of money.
A lot of money.
A lot of money.
So I guess they decided to get the gang on the road.
Yep.
Go start checking it out.
Mm-hmm.
I forget. Did they first stop to go talk to the boyfriend to get a little bit more information?
Well, could the Scooby gang go talk to the boyfriend before they get everything set up?
You know, investigation.
Investigation, of course. And he's just off his rocker.
Stares off into nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Starts laughing.
Starts doing a DJ set.
Mm-hmm. And then he takes a knife to his throat and he starts to cut his throat and they were able to stop him halfway through, but I don't think he survived that.
No, he didn't survive that.
So again, this village is living up to its name mm-hmm. and its reputation of if you go there, die, disappear, or fate worse than death.
Indeed.
Yeah. Now, I forget if they share this with your with the three other people.
I'm sure they shared it off with everybody else. And I'm sure they were amazed and blown away.
Were they that?
No.
No. I would be less than enthused with this.
Yes.
So, get the gang on the road. Get mm-hmm. in the van. The nearer they get, the more nervous they're becoming. Yeah, the idol is clearly terrified. You can see that in her face. But, you know, a gig is a gig. Getting paid well, so she's like, okay, well, you know, they decide they're gonna make the climb, following the footsteps, trying to see if
mm-hmm.
there's anything here.
Yes.
Of course, they see, I guess it was a, gosh. They saw animals' heads on a stick.
Mm-hmm.
Impaled, detached. Yeah. They saw a dead creature. They didn't know if it could have been the girl, or you're not quite sure because they're blurring it out.
They're blurring it out, of course.
And, you know, definitely our cameraman is becoming more uncomfortable by the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they decide, okay, let's... Dogen gives them a warning about going anywhere near the field of these rock piles, these perfectly round rocks in various size stacked one on top of the other.
Don't touch the piles.
Yeah. Don't step in here, and you know, he's trying to do his blessing to kind of make it safe so nobody starts to get possessed.
Mm-hmm.
But the idol starts to get possessed.
Yes.
So, already it's kicking in with a vengeance. You get the hands behind the hands behind the head, and then mm-hmm. hand reaching out from her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something about an eye, I think, in her mouth at some point.
There's also an eye in her. Yes, she's getting possessed.
By the spirits of whoever was up there.
Yes.
And, so, I guess the guys decide, okay, we're going to set up the scientist is going to set up his electromagnetic sensors here on the mountainside to try and see what they can figure out. Dogen is like Dogen's next to him, and they're bickering. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're bickering back and forth. He's trying to do his purification ritual to kind of appease the spirits that hopefully have them let go. And of course, yeah, back and forth between the skeptic and the exorcist.
Yep.
Which I mean was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But the scientist was getting spikes of electromagnetic fields here, which they said, you know, this could be underneath an old Japanese tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
That the Japanese military was using during wartime.
Yes.
And apparently they had made friends with the villagers that were practicing the sorcerers that were practicing a sort of forbidden sort of form of witchcraft up this way, where it was, you know, conveyed out to artists and, you know, different people.
Yes, this became Japan's own version of Area 51.
Yes, and they actually mentioned that. So there's enough between supernatural and the military intervention, you're starting to get these little inklings of, oh no.
Mm-hmm.
They also got signs of radiation on the mountain.
Yes.
Which is never good, because the amount that they are getting is what somebody could reasonably stand within a year if you're working at a nuclear power plant, but it starts climbing higher. So it's becoming unsafe. So there's enough things to make you worry. I'm trying to think what else happened from there.
Dogen starts acting up.
Yes.
And
he runs off.
He runs off. Something affects him, and he runs off. So Kudo.
Wait, they hear noises, right?
They hear noises. Like, yes.
It sounds like a booming noise.
Mm-hmm. Like a
from
like
up the mountain.
Then, yes. So they go. Dogen runs up the mountain, and Kudo and Takeuchi and the scientists follow, leaving the ladies in the village.
Which, they're reasonably be scared.
No. None. Why would you be scared?
Well, you know, once you've been possessed.
Possessed, yeah.
She's trying to talk to her and calm her down. Like, it's okay, you know, how about we just go down the mountain. We'll go back to the car. It'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll hang out at the car.
Yeah, that, it seems to kind of appease the idol a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. So,
yes.
They follow Dogen. Meanwhile, the guys follow Dogen up, and they realize Dogen.
So, like, explain this one.
Dogen's not only possessed, he beheads himself. And throws a head at the gentleman. And they run shitless down the mountain.
As you do.
As the ladies run down as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, wow.
Shit has gone sideways.
Shit has gone pear-shaped and sideways. Mm-hmm. They get
and
down.
And, of course, the scientist is scared. And, what is it, Kudo's kicking his ass the entire way up the mountain.
Yes. Like, knock it off. Don't be scared. We got this. You know.
And then they both flee.
Yeah. And I think that the talismans make an appearance. And,
Didn't quite work.
Didn't quite work? No. Matter of fact, they infect Kudo's hand.
They get sucked right into his palm and disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So something is so bad here that it's the talismans are like, they just nope the fuck out of there.
Mm-hmm. So, they go on down. They can make it to the bridge area near the van.
Yes.
And they see another UFO?
Ball of light?
Ball of light, yep.
Yeah.
And this somehow affects scientists too, and we realize that the scientist's eyes are no longer there.
Yeah, it's out of something out of Event Horizon.
Yes. Where we're going, we don't need
eyes. We don't need eyes.
And then he plunges himself into the river, the lake.
Yeah, he starts chanting something. Like,
it's the same.
It's the same thing that made the Dogen freak out.
Freak out, yes.
Saying he saw something.
Mm-hmm. It was also the same, I think, chant from the second episode.
Yes.
So he disappears in the book. And our idol just ups and disappears, leaving a scar on Ishikawa.
But it was after they put her in the car.
Yes.
She tried to push her way out as she started kind of, you know, chanting the same thing, saying she saw something. And, so Ishikawa now has, like, grudge burn marks on her.
Yes.
Where the girl had grabbed her.
Mm-hmm.
So they proceed to get the hell out of there.
Of course.
As you would. Yeah, we started off with 6, we come back with 3. 2.
Mm-hmm. 3, yeah. So
go on a roll.
You got Kudo with this harebrained idea of getting a former defense minister to talk about the Area 51.
Because the scientist said something about it being military, had been used for military
purposes
back in the day.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking, they shut down that section of mountain.
Yeah. They coordinated off.
They didn't shut down the village. They shut down that whole section of mountain.
And they dammed it.
They dammed it, yes. So, they, would you say coerce?
I would say they're kind of doing like a deep throat thing where
The smoking man.
You know, mm-hmm. where the smoking man from X-Files where they're getting a drop of information from this guy. Mm-hmm. And then Kudo pretends it just coerces him into the vehicle and then proceeds to beat the living shit out of him with a baseball bat. And, you know, of course, our cameraman's like, I can't film this. This is a crime. We can sell in the States. We can sell in other countries. I don't care. Kudo wants to know what this, tell me the truth about what was happening with the military up that way. Yep.
So,
we'll blur your face out. We'll hide your name. You know, nobody's going to know it's you. You're like, hold up, Kudo. He's going to give away some sensitive secrets. I think people are going to know specifically it's him.
Yes. He's dead. He's a dead boy.
Oh, he's a dead man walking.
Mm-hmm. So we find out that there were some really big experiments involving demons up that way.
And the military.
As you should.
I mean, so, like, World War II, mm-hmm. you know, just, I don't want to say as Germany was doing with their leaning into the paranormal. What was that called? The Vol Society?
The Vol Society, yep.
Yeah. The Wolfstein Society. So they have, so their society would be their equivalent to that. Where they're looking at supernatural things where the government is interesting in making a partnership with the sorcerers.
Mm-hmm.
To try and create these holy demon fighters.
Yes. Demon soldiers.
Yeah.
Out of DNA of demons. Hi, Lucky.
Yes. Hi, Lucky. Our fourth member, ladies and gentlemen.
So they get directions to the head scientist in the nest. And lo and behold, he just pours his soul.
Well, I mean, they did break and enter into his house. He's like, I'm sorry, grandfather, but I need more information about. So the guy, you know, digs up and goes there with a baseball bat. So what are you going to do?
Right.
So he brings out a film reel. The old silver nitrate film reels that are really, really flammable. And he puts it on the projector and he kind of shows them some of the things they were doing, human experimentation, where you're getting these giant women and you're producing, you know, he's like, they're trying to produce these holy, heavenly demon,
divine soldiers. Demon soldiers.
Soldiers, yep. A contradiction in terms if I've ever heard one. But,
yes.
But then they said the war, you know, the war ended and, you know, they decided they were going to, they killed all the shamans and all the people from
the village,
all the other military people, which explains how the suit made it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they knew they had to bury these secrets. Otherwise, allies might be pissed off. People might be upset to know you were doing this human experimentation on your own people.
Yep.
So they try to bury this secret, and what happens from there?
We find out that some of the scientists in on this secret was Kudo's parents.
Yep. They pull out a picture, like, the last name was Kudo.
Mm-hmm.
And Kudo has this look of absolute shock and horror.
Yes.
On his face.
Yes.
So, okay. And now he really wants to know more because he wants to know more about his parents and, you know, what happened to them. But the fact that his parents were involved in this kind of research, you know, disgusts them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're hell-bent to go back up to the mountain to kind of figure it out.
Yes, try to find the facility.
I mean, you already escaped it once.
Why do you want to go there again?
Yeah, I mean, he's like a dog with a bone. He can't let it go.
Yes.
So up they go again.
Mm-hmm. And I think I'm lost at this part. Did they find a portal to the other side again?
It was the doctor.
Professor from the second one.
Sensei.
Sensei.
So the doctor, or sensei from the second one, the architect?
The architect, yes.
Is found in the village.
Village, mm-hmm.
And he just kind of comes walking up to Kudo, and he, you know, he's kind of laughing at him, and just kind of provoking him a little bit. And he's like, well, this is what you're trying to do. Your parents were involved in this. They were trying to bring about something with, like, a dark god. And that he was continuing the research he was one of the researchers that had escaped. That was trying to continue the research long after the project had been suspended. So he was continuing that research on the girl that disappeared. He said, had you been a girl, we would have made you into a divine demon soldier.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, Kudo just loses it.
And just beats the living crap out of it. Literally.
Yeah. He attacks, but they said something about where he could have been experimented on as well.
Mm-hmm.
Something where he's been cursed with, like, demons?
Demon blood.
Demon blood. So they're trying to figure out how to get rid of these markings on them.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is also another reason they had to go back up.
Yes.
Ishikawa is marking that she received from one of the girls, and then Kudo has marking on his arm. Which
talisman.
He notices when the talisman disappears. That, The doctor still gets up, starts to attack Ishikawa. Ishikawa just kind of stabs him. And I mean, good for Shikara for bringing a knife.
Yes.
And then the portal opens.
Open up since in Sensei.
Sensei. And Sensei continues the attack.
Mm-hmm.
Ishikawa's head gets pulled off, even though she's fighting for her life. So she's beheaded.
Mm-hmm.
Kudo's trying to get to her. He can't reach her in time, so she's decapitated. Now he's really upset. I forget how he gets out.
He accidentally falls back and he falls into time. Back in time.
Yeah, so he and the camera fall back in time where he sees these two adults and their young child
mm-hmm.
are walking down the path, and he says, "What are you doing here?" And he recognizes Kudo recognizes him as his parents back in the day.
Yes.
And his younger self. So he's kind of coming off the hinges now. He's kind of destroyed. He's like, "You have to stop. You need to stop this." And they're like, no, we have to keep going. This is our life's work.
We're seeing progress.
Yeah. Yeah, we're really making progress. And he's like, "No, you don't understand." So he can't reason with them. So Kudo, being unable to control his temper, stabs his father and mother to death
mm-hmm.
in front of his younger self. So literally a murderer.
Yes. Foretold. Foreshadowing.
And his parents tell him to defy fate, which is the thing he keeps saying to himself. He's going to defy fate when really, this is a timey-wimey circular you've just created the mm-hmm. fate. Maybe if you had just left them alone.
Yes.
Or killed your younger self, this wouldn't have happened. But, you know, we don't advocate killing small children, so preserve the Kenny.
Unless they're asking for it.
I mean, you know, if they're singing creepy little lullabies or possessed, have at. But they jump back to the thing. It's Ishikawa's head calling them back, opening the portal so they can go back to their time. So the cameraman and Kudo go back. And, you know, Kudo's rightfully kind of besides himself. The cameraman's really upset. Because who knew we were going to get more time shenanigans?
Yes.
And Kudo would be the instrument of his orphaning
mm-hmm.
by self, his weird scientist literal, parents.
A literal self-fulfilling prophecy.
Truly. Yes. Where are you going to take it from there? Because it gets... I don't even think I can
explain the weirdness that happens so from there. Great. It starts something within him and it starts shooting out ectoplasmic snakes. Yes, ectoplasmic snakes. And then all of a sudden we're hearing this thumping,
boom,
boom, boom, boom. And we look into the mountain. There is a freaking cloud giant.
It looked like Attack on Titan.
Yes.
And I like, guess this is the dark god that they were trying to summon? Maybe?
Possibly, yeah.
We're not quite sure.
So instead of running, Kudo changes into this tentacle monster and fights the giant.
But just his lower half.
Yeah, his lower half, but... Yeah.
And he grows, and it's a kaiju battle.
Yes. A big kaiju battle, ladies and gentlemen.
Where Kudo's able to pull the dark god into, it looks like another portal.
Mm-hmm.
Out of existence, and then it ends there, and
it ends there, yeah.
I don't know how long it's been, but we go to our cameraman slash director who is just trying to make sense of it all back in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ishikawa's gone. Kudo's gone.
Yes.
You know, all three. Dogen, the scientist,
the
idol. They're all gone.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one left to tell the tale. It's kind of a call me Ishmael moment. And there's a portal that opens in the back corner of the room with both Kudo and Ishikawa's head floating, screaming something.
Mm-hmm.
We forgets for help, and then it closes, and then the guy just nopes the hell out of there. Like, the smartest response I've ever seen somebody have. He's like, just gets his camera, and he runs out of that place. He's like, nope, done.
I'm out.
And that's where it left us.
Yes. So, quite a roller coaster, isn't it?
That's one way to put it. I feel like we deserve hazard pay after this one. This was long. This felt like they took on too much. They're trying to take on too much, tie up too many loose ends, you know, explain so many revelations of what we've been seeing over the previous 5 episodes in such a short movie time that I loathe to compare it to Game of Thrones, the final season, where you just shoved all this stuff in that you really didn't see character development. It wasn't really explained or fleshed out as fully as you could because you were just trying to tie it up. But you were finding out now the breadcrumbs and these revelations fast and furious at you that you didn't really have time to process, which, I mean, it would be the real effect of you don't have time to process this information hitting you. It's just an onslaught, just one thing after another, and it's getting worse. So really, when Kudo, all he can do is react, and Kudo does not react in the best ways.
No.
It makes sense things went as badly as they did. And we had hints, we had foreshadowing that kind of now start to make sense that, yes, this is a the government agency mixing with sorcerers, cultists, whatever you want to call them, to bring about this dark god, to use this energy to, you know, it became a confusing mishmash of, are we going with, like, yokai? Are we going with, like, kaiju? Are we doing something sci-fi? We throw military things in here. Like, it just seemed like a jumble of too much, too fast.
Yes.
That it left you with, I guess, kind of drained and in a daze. Like, what has happened? Like, did you really do these characters that dirty?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ishikawa, they took out unceremoniously. Kudo, you get to know more about him, but you don't feel like you really got to know him. You could see him really make props to the actor for acting his little heart out when he confronts his parents. And just being absolutely horrified at what he just did. And realizing, you know, your parents that you idolize that died tragically when you were like 7 or 8 were really these kind of monsters. And just realize, even though you tried to fight your fate, you made it manifest.
Yes, yes.
That everything is connected.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. In that way, I think there was a lot of contrivances that just felt a little bit too convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had to push it through. He had to do this. You had to get to this point. But, you know, our question to Roy, after a long pronounced silence between Doc and I, and a couple, I could have gotten popcorn if you told me this was longer. Was, what the fuck, man? Like, are they planning to do, was this like the end of the series? And you're like, no, there's still 2 more episodes and another movie. Like, okay, because I don't know how you're going to get your characters out of this. You essentially kind of killed everybody off. Yes, we still have portals to the other world. But, I mean, where do you go from here with these characters when Kudo's revelations of what he is and what his family was and what they did, and the most of the mysteries from episodes 1 to 5 have been wrapped up in this movie, what is left?
Gonna,
I guess it's my thought.
We're going to find out. because I will give you this.
Okay.
Koji didn't know if he was going to get funding for his next one, so he had to wrap this one up, like, this way.
Oh, do we want to talk about the giant flying man outside in the sky, like out of a Rick and Morty episode?
Yes. He just appeared. We'll learn about him later. You okay there, Doc?
Yeah, sorry, just cat.
He's a very angry cat. Doc, how do you feel about this?
Mixed.
Yeah. Okay.
Because while I get right what you're saying, it's just it's one of those things where it's like, if it felt like even if he thought this was going to be his last, so he just kind of threw everything.
Yeah.
It feels like there's something you could have done that it could have been done better. Because as much as like, oh, if you see it, it makes sense. There's also some stuff it feels like really feels like that it's just kind of random. Like, all this stuff was like, this is why. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it's all connected. And you're like, wait, what?
Huh? Wait, how do we get there?
You're introducing facts, not evidence. Until, you know, you felt like showing that hand.
Yeah, and it's just, it feels like the more and more goes on, the more and more you're like, what?
This seems unlikely. This seems improbable. Okay, it's now not what even the
it
hell?
Seems improbable. It's just more like how it, the point A to point B doesn't work as well.
No.
Right.
It was a mad dash.
It was.
Yeah.
Through the plot.
Like, it didn't feel like it was properly setting up and finishing it. It was more like, how do we get here? What happened? Why are you doing this?
What happened to all the giant women that you created with these, like, you know, these divine soldier, demonic soldier things you were kind of creating that you were making only out of girls? I guess that's what we saw in the Kappa water, or that was the guy's daughter, or maybe he was part of it. I don't freaking know. I mean, it left you with way more questions, but it just... Doc, did you feel exhausted after it?
A little bit. Because, again, it felt like we were just rushing to tie up all these loose ends and finish it without properly letting you... letting either people explain it or properly letting it settle in.
Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones Season 8 syndrome, yes.
Yeah, so because it just feels like, huh? Wait, what?
Huh?
Wait, what? We're how here? Did we get okay. here?
Yeah. Oh, okay. They're dead. Okay.
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 That's a thing that can happen. That's a thing that can happen. What?
Demonic holy warriors? Wait. Hold.
It never really felt like. Yeah, it kind of felt like. It felt like it just kind of. Threw everything at us at once without us really giving any chance to think about it.
You feel completely disoriented.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like anything was really planned. It just feels like, I'm just going to throw in this shit in here because it sounds cool.
Right.
Well, I mean, there was some foreshadowing. I'll give them that in the episodes before that something was going to happen. Now, whether or not the director had this exact idea in his mind since the beginning, I mean, we do get hints of Kudo being something a little bit more than just your normal guy. I mean, he does have a bad temper. He does have the propensity to harm other people if he can't control his temper, which we find out is symptomatic of his demonic blood. Right. Thank you, Professor, for telling them at the worst possible time. So there was some, the Oiwa possessed actress did call him a murderer. Which, I mean, now that suddenly makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it didn't allow you to, like.
Satisfying. It's in brief.
Yeah, but also it didn't really allow you to make that connection because as soon as it's said, it's like, we have to move on to something else. Go quickly, go quickly, go quickly.
Yeah, so, I mean, it didn't allow you to really stop and think. It was only, I think, overnight was I able to kind of make those connections. Like, okay, maybe in the Kappa thing, that wasn't his daughter. Maybe that was one of those divine demonic warriors because they were gigantic women. Right. Or something like that. So I
maybe.
And Yuko, the architect slash teacher was continuing that work with Yuko because Yuko was one of the results of the experiment.
Yes. Now you're getting it. Now you're getting it.
Yeah. So I mean, you started kind of putting it together that okay, you've let these things out in the world, and these phenomena are happening around them. So are these people cursed because of the experimentation with the demonic? You know, is that why the talisman's like, nope, I'm out. This is too much for even me to handle. But it didn't let you time to breathe or really think about it. I mean, in retrospective, it makes a little more sense, but not that much.
Yeah, and like, it doesn't even let you, I'm saying that it moves too fast, it'll even let you put the pieces together.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. It feels like, oh yeah, this thing tied with this thing, moving on. The time this thing, this time this thing, then moving on. It's like, whoa.
Let me think for a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it felt like a serious dump.
Yeah, there were tons of expedition dumps in it, just to kind of get you caught up. Where it could have come out more organically, like that little hint of murderer in the fifth episode was an okay. You kind of, you know, and hearkening back to Yuko, if we just seen a picture of it in that one place, and now you could start saying, okay, Yuko has some kind of ties to this military place.
Mm-hmm.
Then I could see another episode of trying to find out more about the military, and then maybe the next episode you could have like the professor come in, and now the confrontation could have happened. But there, it feels like it could have needed another episode to really kind of let it organically come out by those things you're encountering rather than this movie dump.
Yeah.
But now, what you said, you know, knowing that he might not get enough funding to continue the series, you had to go all in. So
yes.
I guess with the constraints of it, it's interesting. But it's, I would definitely say it's kind of a low point for the series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't make for a real good watch, and it kind of since we're doing it a marathon style, it does kind of drain some of the goodwill that we had in the last couple of episodes.
Yeah, where we were definitely having way more fun because we were getting into the yokai aspects. The more you were slowly getting to understand understand this small group. This close-knit group, and understand, they do care for each other. They will fight to save each other. And you were seeing those bonds of camaraderie come out more. You were seeing more of their personality, getting to know a little bit more about them. But, I mean, this just felt like it took all that and kind of dashed it. And I don't want to say it's not good.
Yeah.
This is a very, very good series, but this is a movie where you have to be, I don't think anything can kind of prepare you for what you're about to see in that speed run.
Right.
And it felt long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the pacing was kind of all over the place. Which, I mean, I think that was the issue again with episode 2. Anytime you start adding in kind of government conspiracies or, you know, alien or that kind of, it starts feeling longer because it's not in the same vein of, okay, you understand what a yokai is, you understand what an onryo is, you understand the essential rules to this. This is throwing something entirely new into the mix that you didn't expect you were going to get.
Yeah. I also think that the problem is that the pacing of it really needs to let it breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just, instead of really, like, just going all out crazy with it, just let the pacing take a few breaths Because just endless amounts of, just endless amounts of exposition, this is that, and it's like, what the fuck? Calm the fuck down, dude.
Letting the moment breathe to build tension, to let characters sink in that she's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, your friend is dead. You know, your parents are monsters. Those could have been moments really punctuated by more, by just giving it a few extra moments, even just letting the silence sink in, to let him come to grips with that before he acts. Then again, Kudo doesn't really let anything sink in. He just reacts. But even that, you know, your horror, just standing there, I think, looking at your childhood self, if you had let that moment breathe more, I think the horror of what you've done, the fact that you could never escape this fate, you know, would have been more horrifying, and maybe having the cameraman start to panic a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
It would have made more of an impact, I think, on the audience and the characters. But this is like a mad dash to the finish line.
Right. Yeah.
With a floating man in the sky. A floating Titan in the sky. It looked like something out of Rick and Morty.
Show me what you got.
Well, not even that. Not the floating head. The what is it? Welcome to... where they go into the homeless gentleman's body.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's floating in the sky to get out. Yeah.
The... What was it? The Jurassic Park parody or whatever?
Yeah.
Where, you know, well, the Jurassic Park / Fantastic Journey, whatever.
Yeah. So now, in the middle of Japan, there's a giant floating Titan in the sky that looks like maybe the dark god that Kudo was fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
So, I mean, I don't know if it's a stalemate or what happened, but you know, Rory informs us there's 2 more episodes in a movie to wrap this up, so we were not given any hints going in, so we still don't know what's coming. So, I mean, this kind of, I think it let the air out of our tires just a bit more.
It did, yeah.
I mean, a general sense of ennui gets in at some point where you cannot process anymore, so you do shut down.
Yeah. I gave you guys
Make it make sense, damn it.
Oh, it will make sense in the next episode, though, trust me.
I feel like we should get medals for sitting through this one.
I'll talk to Okami about it.
Okay.
Anything else you guys want to add?
Nah.
Nah, I'm pretty good.
Yes, this was one of my favorites. I liked it because it came to a head. And, yeah, I kind of figured it wasn't going to be a piece of divisive cake. It was going to be divisive, yeah. So, yeah, all I can say is keep watching. It gets better. And that being said, anyone want to promote anything?
I mean, the best thing I could probably promote is someone we did mention in the stream, but it's definitely another case. Check out Abroad in Japan, I would say. He does really great, he's done really great videos on sort of the outskirts of Japan, especially with some of the abandoned villages.
Yeah. And we want to promote Asian Horror on YouTube.
At go check him out on YouTube. Yeah,
and somebody Asian on Discord.
Horror. And Shirocord, the unofficial fan Discord of Koji Shiraishi's movies. Go find them. They've provided the rest of the materials, the shorts, the translations.
Thank you so much.
Arigato gozaimasu. And Howling Village. It's a movie about Inanagi Village.
That one looks awesome.
Yes.
I have to say.
Go search for that one. Any other haunted village? The Devil's Reign.
Oh, God.
There you go. Troll 2.
No. Don't you... I'll get the ruler out.
Nope. We've lost the plot.
We've lost him. Come back. Oh, my God. No,
they're eating him. And then they're going to eat me. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. No, don't watch that. It's pretty crap.
But no, go find Halloween Village. Onibaba might help you out, too.
Oh, yeah.
In a way, it's Yojimbo.
Yeah.
Because that's mostly haunted.
Nakabura. Whatever that one was called.
Nakabura?
If you need a laugh or a palate cleanser after this, go watch Ghost Stories, the anime.
Yes.
We 100%.
The dub specifically.
We 100% will give you a thumbs up for that if you watch it.
Yes. And with that being said, you can catch us here on the Red Light Podcast. Your home videos are horror here on the Wolf's Den Productions tab in podbean.com. You got some love mail, some hate mail, some cursed village mail, some in a nugget mail, some Lincoln Way mail, some
ghost stories mail.
Yes, send it to starlightpodcast@proton.com. You can also talk to us on our X over at capital R, capital L, capital P, capital S, Starlight. Yes, RLP Starlight. Send some recommendations, some commendations. Say hi. We'd love to hear from you. And if you want to read reviews I put out on movies or lists, go check out criticlist.com. And if you're listening to this around current day-ish, I also run extremes of this series every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time over at Twitch on Royal B3. We'd love to have you. And with that being... Yes, come join us. Come join the stream. And with that being said, thank you for joining us and have a wonderful evening. Goodbye.
It's about that hazard pay and popcorn.
I didn't say anything about popcorn.
I'm old popcorn.